Good evening, everybody, and I hope everybody's doing well. It's, as you can tell, it's my turn to speak. And as the past 20 times I've spoken on the fruit of the Spirit, and this one is still in that area. But it's still, you know, we study to learn God's Word, and I took it upon myself to learn to be a better steward as far as displaying the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of light that it speaks about in Ephesians. And the days and time in which we live, it tests us, tests me even more, especially when going out into the world. And in reality, that's where we're supposed to be displaying the fruit of the light. And it's trying. It really is. But I'm still working on it. And with the Lord's help and my constant prayer to him for that, it will happen. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and, Lord, all the blessings you give us in it. Lord, we thank you for that you did on the cross, for that shed blood on Calvary. And, Lord, we thank you for that you did from before the foundation in creating the body of which the world can't even understand, the world can't compass, and we can see it, Lord, through your Spirit. You allow us to understand this, to understand this mysterious message that was hidden from before the foundation, Lord, that was given to the Apostle Paul. We thank you, dear Lord, for that and what it does and the hope that it gives us. And, Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts that needs a healing or comforting. Be with the Winchester family, Lord, as they continue to heal in their walk. And, Lord, be with all those others that need healing. Be with Tony Ganson as he continues to heal. And, Lord, I lift up another prayer to be with Danny, the barber friend of mine. His cancer has come back, but now it's leukemia. Lord, be with him as he goes through another trial of cancer. And, Lord, be with all those that are on our hearts that needs a healing or comforting touch. And Lord, be with me as I deliver this message in the hopes that it edifies the body to learn. If one person can learn something from this, then Lord, your will is done. And Lord, that's all that I ask, is that your will be done. For it's in Christ I'm not praying. Amen. Again, good evening, everybody. And like I said before, I am doing a study on fruit, and it's going to be titled Proving Acceptance of God, which is in Ephesians 5:10. But you know, the walk that we're portrayed starts in Ephesians 4 when it says 4:1-3, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring or using constant diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And then verse 25, we do all that for we are members one of another. That's the unity of each other that we do this. Chapter 4 is unification of the body. My studies in the fruit of the Spirit and light have been studies to help me as a student in His Word to understand what Christ's intent with our walk is to be. Because throughout Old Testament Scriptures, there's direction of following His commandments. In early Scriptures, if you didn't follow the law, it was punishable by possible death or disease. But if you walked in the law, you were righteous with the promise of long life and health. Then Jesus comes on the scene, the Savior, which was prophesied from Old Testament Scriptures, fulfilling the law, which gives living examples as to how Scripture brings forth change, how God worked with Jews and Gentiles differently through the ages and dispensations with those that believe in His Word. By Jesus fulfilling the law and ushering in grace, from that point, Jesus taught to love thy neighbor as thyself in the Gospels. After Paul's conversion, his directive to the Ecclesia was to walk in the Spirit, according to our exalted risen Christ our head, that the saints be the fruit of the Spirit through their walk in Galatians, expressing the finished work of the seed. That fruit, Spirit being the Holy Spirit, then in Ephesians, Paul directs the one new man to walk in the light, which is Christ, to be an example of the light of Christ as children of light. Our daily walk and our character that we display to the world, being the example for others to see Christ's light in us as body members. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it starts out, be ye therefore followers of God. Upon that therefore as to the walk that was displayed in chapter 4. As dear children, and walk in love. As Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This coming after chapter 4 with what is expected with the unity of the faithful believers in one body and of the full knowledge of Christ. From verse 3 to verse 7 were our worldly sins that the old man once shared and having no hope or inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. But now in verse 8, the believing saint is light in the Lord. In Ephesians 5, 9, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, that is our charge or our duty is in our walk is to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is one's construed character with walk in Ephesians 5:8, but now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light with the indwelling Spirit of light. And then comparing the proving oneself the accepted will of God in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we prove a coin by the eye and the ear, and by using it as to accurately and continued study, and above all by practice and trial, that we may prove or test what is acceptable unto the Lord, this is the office of life, of which believers are innocent, uncorrupted children, in verse 1, to manifest that what each person is seen as in the eyes of the Ephesians, in 5:10. There are some things which do most please God, as things that are eminently good or accepted to Him in the highest degree. As, for instance, faith in Christ is pleasing to God. But strong faith is possibly more acceptable than weak. As in John's Gospel. After Thomas had told the other disciples that he would not believe unless he placed his hands in Christ's wounds. And then in John 20:29, after he is in the same room with Christ, Jesus says to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This is proving what is acceptable to God is one great duty which belongeth to the children of light, is believing God's word without seeing anything, because we take it through faith. Our great end and scope as body members should be to please God and be accepted with Him. We please God by doing what He has required of us in His Word. There are certain things evident by the light of nature which belong to our duty. These must not be overlooked. Jehovah's answer to what Israel should do in pleasing the Lord in Micah. Micah 6:8, and He showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. This is what He's telling Israel. This is going two dispensations back. Notice, love, mercy, and humbleness. In verses 10 to 16, the Lord incriminates them and judges their deeds to desolation when they don't follow His direction. The things there mentioned are evident by the light of nature, that we should carry ourselves justly towards men and with reverence and obedience to the divine majesty of Christ's example. It is evident by the light of nature as well as Scripture, but the revelation that He has made of our duty to us by the Word is more dear, full, and certain. If we would know God's mind revealed in His Word, we must use search and trial, proving that dokimazo, to test or to discern or examine, proving great diligence and care that we may know the mind of God. For it is beneficial to us, and we are often pressed to it, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Thessalonians was one of Paul's earliest books, which consisted of some believing Jews, but mostly Gentiles. He uses the term putting on, as in clothing or armor, faith, and he uses the same term in his latter books. This is the previous dispensation. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8-18. But let us who are of the day be sober. Now this is the previous dispensation. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, your bosses, your masters, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So they would be proving themselves by following those examples in the previous dispensation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it's proving all things. Hold fast to that which is good. That is prove, to test, to approve, to allow, discern. That's dokimazo. I think I went over that earlier. Proving what is acceptable to God with doctrines and practices. Bring them to the trials and to the testimony. See how they agree with God's word as iron sharpens iron. In the 1 John, the message is to the Jew. But we can see how it can relate to today with the same questions to believers and unbelievers as practical truth. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try every spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And going to 2-4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Could you walk out in some of these assemblies? And I'm not talking about church assemblies. I'm talking about the roadside assemblies that we see in the news. Could you think you could walk by into one of those assemblies of people and ask if they believe Christ is the Son of God? What do you suppose would happen? I'll leave you at that. And then in 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the previous dispensation, and this was to Israel. We can relate to this today. This day, with world events happening right now, we get strength from this one verse. Greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. We must search and try the scriptures rightly divided, that we may walk as children of the light. The night was made for rest. The light is not for giving us for rest and idleness, but for work. Believers must please God. To please God, the business of a body member upon the earth is not an independent one. He is not acting on his own account, but he is a steward of Christ. C.H. Spurgeon writes this, what if I compare one of the commission's agents who was sent abroad by his firm with full powers from his employer to transact business for the house which he represents? He is not to trade for himself, but he agrees to do all in the name of the firm which commissions him. He receives his instructions, and all he has to do is to carry them out. His whole time and talent being, by express agreement, at the absolute disposal of his employers. Now, if this man shall lend himself to an oppositional firm or trade on his own account, he is not true to his engagements, and he has to bear the responsibility of his acts. But so long as he acts for the firm and he does his best, his course is an easy and safe one, just as an example. Paul, in his letter to Titus, speaks to the qualities of a bishop which Titus had the title. It was his commission to ordain elders in every city. And in Titus 1, 7 through 9. For the bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given in filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That goes right along with what Spurgeon was saying. And proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, we can go to one of our letters of Paul in Colossians. Colossians 3, and see another example of our character or walk. And put on, used three times in these passages, after our great hope in Colossians 3, 4. Paul states that we must put off, first of all the worldly attributes that we walked some time when you lived in them in the old man. Some 11 deeds that we are to mortify, put to death. In Colossians 3, 10, 17, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God that created him, the new man, the image of God formed in us by the Spirit of God. This is the image that God sees when we walk in his principles here. Think about that. The image that God sees in us is him. In 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the new man as God sees, no more Jew or Gentile, the difference of legal standing between circumcised and uncircumcised is done away, but Christ is in all. Christ is all. Christ absorbs in himself all distinctions, being to all alike. Everything that they need for justification, sanctification, and glorification, we can see a comparison in Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the world air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But in Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I think I witnessed that this past week. Put on all these attributes as your daily armor and way of life, thinking continually on every occasion. In 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, but even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, here's put on. charity, which is the bond of perfectness. As we all know, the strongest attribute that we can have is that of God, even Christ, which is love. To cap off all other attributes, because without love, as the song goes, you have nothing. Love is the bond of perfectness that illuminates the new man, showing the light of Christ, and makes him accepted unto the Lord in Ephesians 5. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts in 15, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. In one body. Ephesians 4. This unity of the body is a strong argument for peace among members. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And my last verse tonight, it was a short study, but to the point, Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let us put on the outer garment of light through His faith, being that light as an example of Christ, so we can be proven as accepted in Christ. Thank you, guys. Sorry for the tears, but I love you guys, and dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for the Spirit that helps guide us into this knowledge. Thank you for the Spirit that gives us the wisdom to see, the eyes to see, and understand the hope that you have laid up. Amen.